If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to deal with an important subject of hijab according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But let's listen to a short biography before we start our program. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mahajawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about hijab with Sheikh Javid, some of the questions quite related to the issue of women, for example, driving cars. Sheikh Javid, what's the Islamic law about a woman driving a car?
Well, according to His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no problem there's no objection to a woman driving a car. So it is, generally speaking, and according to Shia scholars, let alone Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, all Shia religious authorities, including His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei, are of the view that a woman can drive cars, it's permissible.
I see. Sheikh Javid, I want to ask you a very important and rather interesting question regarding women's dress in front of their mahrams. All right? We always talked about, in fact, women wearing this and that, or, for example, wearing hijab in front of, non-mahram, non-marriageable people, right?
Yes.
Or strangers, let's say. But what about in front of the mahram? What do women, or what should they wear? And what do you advise the women to wear, in fact, in front of their mahram relatives, in front of other women, for example, in their family gatherings and weddings, for example, or ceremonies?
Well, modesty is not only about going out and wearing clothes that are modest. Modesty means that one should be careful about his behavior, about his clothes. And when it comes to a woman, she should be careful about the dress she wears. She should not uncover her attractive parts, even if she's in front of her close relatives, like brothers, like father, and children, of course. That's why Islam says, for example, that when a brother and sister wants to sleep, it is necessary that they sleep in different rooms. And especially if it is feared that they might fall into a sin, they should sleep away from each other. Now, if it is very much likely that one of them might fall into a sin or into a haram act, then it is mandatory for them to sleep, separately from each other. They should sleep in separate rooms. When it comes to observing hijab, of course, the clothes should be modest and should preserve a woman's dignity and a woman's dignity, respect as a believing woman. As a believing woman, she should wear proper clothes. She should not, uncover herself. She should not, when she is actually in front of her children or her brothers or father-in-law and so on and so forth, now she must dress herself properly, lest the other family members or the male members of her family should not fall into a sin.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a very short break and we'll be back and continue our questions around the very important subject of hijab. And in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. And the subject is hijab. Well, Sheikh Javid, some women actually have beautiful or melodious voices.
Yes.
All right? And they are sometimes asked by the family members, in fact, to sing in front of them, for example, in some gatherings, yes. Right? So some of them even recite poems during birthdays and mourning ceremonies. Some of them recite or they are asked to recite, for example, du'as or the Quran in a place where non-mahram cannot hear them. So what's the ruling on this issue?
So the assumption is that non-mahram cannot hear them, mm-hmm. okay? In the event that non-mahram cannot hear a woman reciting poems or reciting the Holy Quran or supplications or maybe, singing a religious song, there is no objection to her, you know. It is permissible according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei.
Right.
But if she knows that there are non-mahram men outside and listening or hearing her voice, then it's not permissible to make her voice soft, attractive, and, you know, sweet, you know, and charming, and because it is going to cause those men to fall into a sin or get attracted, and therefore she can recite and she can, for example, if she's reciting or if she's going to recite du'a or the Holy Quran, she can recite without making her voice attractive or pleasant or sweet or something like that.
I see. So when it comes to reciting the du'as and the Quran, even in front of the non-mahrams,
she can recite without making her voice, you know, delicate, mm-hmm. attractive, sweet,
just
and
normal
soft.
Reciting normal recitation.
Just like, for example, when she speaks to a non-mahram, you know, how does she speak? She speaks in a normal way without making her voice attractive, you know.
Yes.
The same is the case. She can recite the Quran without making her voice very much or attractive, you know, or delicate or something
right.
tender, soft.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shastra, with another question, somehow in a similar vein. When a person dies, a funeral ceremony attended by men and women alike are held in a courtyard, and a literate or educated woman sometimes recites the Quran and offers condolences in the women's gatherings, with men present in the same place hearing her. So what's the religious law about this?
Well, I haven't, seen such thing. Maybe this is very much, this could be a customary
mm-hmm.
or something, a tradition practiced in some Arab Muslim countries. So generally speaking, a woman cannot, recite in a melodious, in an attractive voice, anything, including the Quran, in the presence of men, in the presence of women. Of course, if no man is there and no one, and no strangers, is going to hear her, there's no objection to reciting something or reading something out loud, and either in the form of condoling or extending her condolences to the family members, to the grieved ones, or in the form of reciting the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on how she recites the Quran and how she may be offering her condolences in the presence of other people, men or women.
Mm-hmm. Shoshavit, a very quick question regarding the limits and restrictions regarding a woman's chat or her interaction with sister's husband and a brother-in-law. What are those restrictions or limits?
Well, a woman's conversation with non-mahram men should be without flirtation and without lustful intention. And she must understand that, for example, the example you give that the sister's husband is non-mahram,
mm-hmm.
and she's just like any other man outside the family, and therefore she is not to be treated as someone who can be, who can see her without hijab, who can see her without, you know, proper clothing. That's not the case. So the sister's husband remains non-mahram, and therefore it's very much necessary that that she observes, that she is careful about her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, a woman's voice is in and of itself is not aura. It's not something to be hidden. The woman's voice in itself, there is no objection to it. So it's not forbidden for a man to hear the voice of a non-mahram woman, unless, of course, it's done with the intention of lust or drive or seeking pleasure or, you know, enjoying and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the answer.
I think. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الأبطال.